Florida. Hard to, you know, when you think of it, here is a town where full of kind of retired Americans enjoying the sunshine and the beaches. At the same time, there's these little clandestine operations and some actual vicious killers operating. All kind of all together, all at once in this little town of Venice, Florida. So, with that, it's been good talking with you and hearing your call. So, stay tuned to KBOO. It's your station, and we are in a fun drive. We need you to keep this station operating. It's a station kind of by and for you, the people. So give us a call, 503-231-8187. So it's been Pear Fogering and Fight the Empire. Keep on fighting the empire.
Is Melissa Hood, and you're listening to KBOO's celebration of International Day of Democracy. Today, I will be talking about what is, isn't, and should be happening in our country's democracy when it comes to climate change. I spoke with Paxton Rothwell and Taylor Walker, two members of the Portland chapter of the Sunrise Movement. According to their website, the Sunrise Movement is an organization made of young people who are working to stop climate change while also creating jobs in the process. Their goals include making climate change a priority among Americans, ending the negative influence of fossil fuel executives on our politics, and to promote leaders who support the well-being of all people. It is no secret that politicians get a lot of money from billionaires and big corporations. The fossil fuel industry specifically spends hundreds of millions of dollars in lobbying during U.S. election cycles. According to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, in 2018, 89% of global CO2 emissions came from fossil fuels, making the fossil fuel industry the leading damaging factor in global warming. Very little is currently being done at the federal level to mitigate CO2 emissions, possibly because of the large amount of funding to federal-level lawmakers. Another significant greenhouse gas contributor is transportation. According to the EPA, transportation accounts for about 29% of total greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. Also, according to the Federal Highway Administration, 93% of households in the U.S. had access to at least one car in 2019. Paxton spoke more about the negative impact from our society's reliance on cars.
Sunrise was tracking House Bill 3055 that passed the Oregon State Legislature this last session. That bill, among other things, gave ODOT a blank check to expand freeways and then bill it against future tolling. To us, that looked like they get to provide more space for cars and then charge us in the future to drive more. They're basically banking on us to keep driving, which Sunrise understands, and I understand really deeply, as a really ineffective and inefficient use of road space, and is also polluting, considering all cars, most cars right now, use gasoline, and that transition to electric is going to take way longer than the time we have left. I really feel like if we keep spending money on freeway and highway infrastructure, that's a dollar that's not being used for a bike lane, a bus rapid transit, MAX, anything else. Car culture really stems from the interstate system being built out in the 50s and 60s, where we basically just gave up a lot of our inner city to these regional highways. Pushed out because of the freeway initially, and there's a lot of talk, a lot of restorative justice going on there through the Albina Vision Trust. If we keep spending money on car infrastructure, we're going to keep building out places that need a car to get to. Like, think of shopping malls. You don't really want to walk through this giant parking lot to get to Kohl's or something. You're going to drive there. So if we keep building things that rely on the car, we're going to keep having to use the car. The car is inefficient, and therefore we'll never really get to the sustainable place that we're trying to get to. Humanity, except for the last 120 years, has lived without a car. I think we can put the cat back in the bag a little bit, per se. And I hope we can. I hope the legislatures all understand that, or begin to understand that.
Although there is sometimes talk of climate action among lawmakers in the media, little of that talk seems to mature into tangible action, as local and national governments continue to poke at the idea of addressing some causes of climate change. The effects of inaction have become more apparent. According to studies done by the Climate Science Center at Texas Tech University, climate change isn't just creating new natural disaster events, but is significantly worsening current extreme weather events. Hurricanes have become larger and stronger, and wildfires are hotter and burn longer. Paxton continued to speak about how lawmakers need to be doing more to show they really care about climate change.
Yeah, right now I believe they're well-intentioned. Most lawmakers, at least in the state and local government, have the right intentions, but it seems like they're all talk and not a lot of action. Governor Brown in early 2020 passed an executive order that said, hey, Oregon state agencies, please look at your carbon emissions and what you're doing to contribute to warming. That's great. Like, that's really well-intentioned. It's a great action on the governor's part, but it feels like and not enough has been done. Like, this one ask of these agencies to look at their emissions isn't really saying, hey, ODOT, for example, how is your highway system contributing to overdriving and therefore contributing to emissions? Like, how is expanding freeways or doing things like that going to actually move us a sustainable way? So I feel like right now it's about action and not just more talk. And like right now I see it as they're kicking the can down the road. I love that phrase because it feels like it means so many things. We basically just need to stop doing that. The youth right now, especially at Sunrise, see that we don't have any more time to lose. Like, 116 degrees in Portland in this heat wave killed over 150 people in the state. That's ridiculous. Like, that's the scariest thing to happen in my life. And some of the younger teenagers in Sunrise, it broke them. Like, they're just like, what? I have to keep living with this? So to loop all that together, we just need to, like, really think about how we're living and do some actual work to put the cat back in the bag, especially on overconsumption, things like that. I don't see how we can have a livable planet while we're all trying to live like the kings of the Middle Ages and have everything. I'm not saying we have to not have plumbing or indoor air conditioning, but we don't all need two cars. We don't all need one car. We definitely should not idealize those people with million-dollar yachts and gold chains and necklaces. It's fun to do. They're beautiful, and that's great. But we're all just humans. We all need so basic things, or so few basic things, that if we live outside of our bubble too much, we're taken away from people we don't even know. And that's heavy. So as Americans, it's time to slow down, maybe.
The way our democracy is currently designed keeps a significant gap in lifestyles between lawmakers and the public. Even though our government claims to be representative of the people, it can still be difficult to feel heard and respected. Low-income communities of color are most likely to be affected by voter suppression and the environmental and physical after-effects of climate crisis events. For example, scholars documented that on Election Day in 2005, not long after Hurricane Katrina, 80% of New Orleans voters remained displaced from their homes, and nearly three-quarters of polling places had been deemed unusable from damage. Poor communities are also most likely to live near hazardous environments such as landfills, congested highways, and toxic waste sites. According to studies over the past decade by the NAAS, Langer Research Associates, and NRDC, a higher percentage of communities of color versus white populations in America are concerned about climate change. Paxton pointed out that instead of creating a larger gap between the elite and the public, lawmakers need to be thinking about what they should do to better represent and provide for the average citizen's needs.
I want to believe in our current democratic system of a representative government where you elect someone to speak your true values, but it doesn't feel engaged enough. It's so hard to find some of these obscure government meetings and actually voice your opinion to them, and then only to have them say, oh, just keep following this agenda item to the next meeting, or, oh, we can't do anything about it. Like, they can, and they're just not. So to me, to have a wholly representative democratic system where we vote people in doesn't really seem like it's cutting it. I feel like a lot of people assume that the government will take care of climate change. We can't spend our way out of this one. We can't escape to it. I feel like some of the billionaires were trying to do this summer and show that we can just fly off to Mars and everything will be okay. Like, no, we're humans. We live on this planet that we've taken too much from. And I think it's high time we realize that as individuals, and that will hopefully spread to your community, to your family, and then eventually to the government. But right now it's kind of it feels like a dark time in the U.S. And probably across the world too, although I can only speak from my perspective. It feels like we're losing on to that control that we did have for so long. And without a lot of people saying like, hey, no, I care about the planet. I care about having a secure future, secure food supply, secure water supply. I care about trying to help those in need. Without people saying that and expressing themselves through love, I feel like it's going to all fall apart. I hope it doesn't happen, but I think we need a lot of people, a lot of help. And yeah, and then just one last thing about the democratic process right now. The two-party system is flawed from the beginning, and they're working together. They have been. They're not working for us. I've said that. Try your hardest to not listen to mainstream media. They want you to believe what they want you to believe. It's sick and weird. And social media makes it so much easier, and it's so hard. You're like, I want to know. I want to know what I can do to help. And they tell you that everything's outraged. I talked to my family who lives in Southern California, and they still are asking, oh, is Portland burning down from the riots? And I'm like, what? That was a little bit of downtown for last summer. It's down for so long. Why is that still a talking point? That's scary. There are people who want this country to be divided, and there are people who want even the state to be divided. And that's, I don't see a divided humanity, country, anything solving the climate crisis. I see us just spinning the wheels and digging ourselves further down in this hole until we get left behind. And by we, I mean everyone who does not have a bank account ending in at least 10 zeros, which is probably everyone listening to this. One last tidbit I heard about, or I just was researching about the U.S. Senate. As of 2019, two-thirds of U.S. senators were millionaires, net worth being more than $1 million. That's compared to 10% of U.S. households who are millionaires. So that's 56% more senators are millionaires than are U.S. households. To me, that says, wow, that's not a reality. Like, that's not a representation of the diversity of America, to see a bunch of largely rich old white men running the country. No, that's not America. America's not a rich old white man. It's a bunch of people who are just scrappy and trying to do the right thing from all walks of life. So I don't know. I hope people hear this and are just, you know, believe what you feel to be true. Look out, go talk to your community, talk to your neighbors, build a strong sense of place where you live.
Although more Democrats seem concerned with climate change than Republicans, according to the Pew Research Center, it still hasn't become a top priority of either party. Paxton talked more about how the two-party system has failed to be the ideal Democratic system in dealing with the climate crisis.
There's a party right now called the People's Party trying to become a legitimate mainstream political party. They're pretty great. They don't have it all, but they're trying. And there's like the Green Party and the Progressive Party and all these other ones that have tried, but I feel like people identify more with the names of these parties than what is actually the underlying policy behind it. So Republican and Democrat, those names don't mean anything to anyone. It's just like a sports team is how I see it. I don't identify with either because of all of my views that I've already mentioned. And I feel like if there's two people playing the same game, they're going to figure out how to rig it so that they both win, actually. And then they keep trading off who's winning. And I feel like we're seeing that, and it's becoming a little more apparent. To have more parties in there, that game gets destroyed. You can't keep just trading who's going to win and who's going to have control to pass their own agenda. There's going to be new people in there with new ideas who have their own allegiance, and hopefully that allegiance is going to be to actually the people of America, or maybe they'll have an allegiance to just protecting the sanctity of the planet so that humanity can survive. I'm not sure, but if there's more parties at the table, there's going to be different talks happening. And also, right now, the Senate is still using the filibuster, which is a really old-timey tactic to just dissuade Democratic discourse. It seems like I've heard minority rule. I've heard a lot of just nasty things about it. It feels like it used to have a place. It feels like it might still in the future, but right now, there's no good conversations happening in the Senate. They bet each other to the lowest bidder, and then we're stuck with whatever we're stuck with.
If you're just now tuning in, you're listening to KBOO's celebration of International Day of Democracy. My name is Melissa Hood. I spoke with Sunrise Movement PDX about democracy and climate change. A representative democracy should do just that, represent the ideals of its population. Although the public has the power of voting, legislatures ultimately are the people who pass the laws that the public is expected to follow. It is also a fact that there are people in the population that have a more difficult time navigating our communities than others. If someone is in need of assistance, they shouldn't be ashamed of asking for help. No one can survive solely on their own, especially in a world that is experiencing more of the unavoidable consequences of climate change. Paxton expanded on this idea by speaking more about how people should still be able to get help, even though lawmakers and the public are increasingly separated from each other.
The government largely is being run by the elites of this country, and that has just become increasingly true, at least since the Reagan era back in the 80s, where I think there's some quote, I'm going to totally butcher the quote, but Ronald Reagan essentially said the scariest, like, however many words anyone could hear is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. How is that scary? Like, man, if someone came here and they're like, hey Pax, I'm from the government, I'm here to forgive your student loans, I want to help you out, I'd be like, oh boy, that's fantastic, please do that. I think a lot of people feel similarly. So another way of thinking about trying to remove that thought process from your mind is to ask yourself the question, and your friends and family the question, what can the government do to better your life? Think about like one or two things that actually could benefit you, because I'm sure there's something. For me, it would be providing more frequent transit. I live about a half block from the number 6 bus, and it runs every 15 minutes, which is great, but it doesn't connect that well. It's infrequent enough that I go out there and still have to wait. So I still have a car. I don't want to have a car because I know how inefficient they are. So that's one thing that they could do to help me.
According to the Brennan Center for Justice, between January and July of this year, at least 18 states enacted 30 laws that restrict access to voting. This includes laws that make mail voting and early voting more difficult and impose harshly strict voter ID requirements, among other restrictions. Although the right to vote is an important privilege for Americans, it is not the only thing people can do to voice their opinions. You can call and email your representatives, search your city's website to see what is being talked about, or get involved in a local committee that deals with the issues you're passionate about. It can take a lot of homework to find out the best places to make your voice heard. Taylor talked about different ways she has found to be active in discussions about climate change.
I think as a youth who can't vote, you know, it's always been something that I'm like, oh, I'll wait till I'm 18 to start doing stuff with climate change. But you don't have to. You can do it right now, whether you're, you know, in middle school or in high school or even in elementary school. There's so many things you can do. So I would say the next best thing to voting, I really enjoy doing public testimony. So, you know, there's a lot of places where you can give testimony in, you know, city budget hearings, in just meetings in general for different sectors of our government. And this is a great experience too for learning and public speaking. I know it can be scary for some people to, you know, talk to their politicians and stuff, but, you know, it's a great time if you have something you want to tell them and you have the time, you know, coming in and giving testimony is a great way to get your voice heard. And then, of course, you know, being involved in organizations like Sunrise, you know, is a really, I've learned so much through Sunrise, and it's just been a great opportunity. I've been able to talk to elected officials and actually gain a lot of experience in the real world, I guess you could say. And so that is another way, you know, just working through organizations is a really great way to do that. And then finally, I would say, as I mentioned before, just writing to your elected officials. So you can look up who your representatives are in your area. And if you have a specific issue that you want to touch on, or you don't agree with a bill that they're proposing, you can write to them, or you do want them to pass a bill, you can write to them and just explain, you know, this is, I want this to happen, or I don't want this to happen, or this is, you know, my concern, and you can send that in, and, you know, they'll receive it. And those are all just some good ways for kids to get involved. And I think too, just, you know, whenever you can, getting your voice heard and speaking and letting people know what you want to say, because that's, you know, as I said before, your voice is your biggest weapon. And, you know, once you become vocal, people will start listening to you.
According to the Library of Congress website, in 2019, the average age of members of the House was 57.6 years, with members of the Senate at an average of 62.9 years. Meanwhile, the average age of an American is only about 38 years. Younger people are realizing that their perspective of the future is largely different from our democracy. Taylor had more to say on that matter.
Well, I think that a lot of politicians, they do have their own interests in mind when they're making laws. And I think that's a big, you know, factor into the well-being of our community. And I think when it comes to, you know, our democratic process, I think that we could do better at, you know, reaching out, or politicians can do better at involving the public in decision making and in regards to climate change, and also, you know, informing the public more. And I think just in general, our general system when it comes to climate change is not as effective, but it could be if people were more involved and they, you know, took it more seriously. So, I mean, the main thing is, you know, we're gonna be alive in 50, 60 years from now when climate change is going to be 10 times worse than it is now, you know? And I think young people have realized that we don't want to live in a world like this. We don't want to live in a world where we have deadly heat waves and we're snowed in Oregon. Like, that never happened. So, you know, I think with the youth, we've realized more and more that this is going to be our future and this is our life. And, you know, we don't want to live in a world like this. And I think, you know, the politicians who are older, you know, they aren't going to live into the time when it's going to be really bad or irreversible. So, you know, it may not be their biggest concern, but to us, you know, this is our life. And it's scary to think, like, you know, we may not have a very bright future. So I think younger people have realized that if they're not going to stand up for them, for us, then we have to stand up for ourselves, because once we are adults, you know, we may not have a very nice world to live in.
Ultimately, the climate crisis will affect everyone, regardless of their age or amount of wealth. According to findings from the Union of Concerned Sciences, if the United States and other governments don't ramp up their efforts to address climate change, irreversible damages will happen to the economy, the environment, and Earth's populations. Humans must reduce our greenhouse gas emissions to at least net zero by the middle of this century to escape the worst effects of climate change. Our current and ongoing emissions will make both reduction and preparation for a harsher climate necessary in the near future. Furthermore, we must find solutions that will work for everyone. No group of people should suffer for the benefit of another. Taylor stressed that all of society needs to be united in its efforts to curb the climate crisis.
Basically, I mean, we all know that climate change is such a huge issue, and it's going to affect, and it has affected so many people. Just over the summer, we've lost hundreds of people just in Oregon from our heat waves. And the only way to really, you know, fight climate change is to do it with everyone, and that includes our government. So we need our government officials and our government to acknowledge and fight climate change. And that's kind of the only way that it's going to, you know, we're gonna really be able to fight this. So it's essential. I think that it's just really important for our politicians to take this seriously and realize that, you know, this is, climate change is here and it's happening right now. And until we do something to stop it, it's not going to stop, and it's just going to get worse. So, you know, I think that they need to really stand up and start, you know, doing their jobs and making bills and, you know, and doing things to fight climate change. In general, I think that as climate change moves forward, we are going to feel a sense of urgency. And until we have elected officials and people in our government that also share this sense of urgency, we're not going to see the kind of change that we want to see. So it's important to, you know, look into who you're voting for if you can vote, to campaign for the people that you want to be our elected officials if you can't vote, and just really don't think that, you know, someone else is going to solve the problem for you. You know, this is a problem that we all need to solve. So if you feel like you want to do something, you should do it, because it's now or never. So
Portland Sunrise Movement has been holding a bi-weekly strike against ODOT's Rose Quarter Freeway expansion. The expansion would include adding auxiliary lanes, shoulders, and redesigning the local street network on I-5 between I-84 and I-405. According to ODOT, the project will cost about $800 million. Paxton gave more details about the strike and encourages anyone interested to join.
So Sunrise has been holding a bi-weekly Youth versus ODOT strike to call out the Oregon Department of Transportation for expanding freeways in the era of climate catastrophe. Last last Wednesday, we had Representative Khan Pham from East Portland come and speak at our rally, which was really exciting. We had the most people we've ever had there. We still haven't been able to get a meeting with anyone at ODOT. We keep asking, we keep showing up outside their office and we draw a sidewalk chalk outside. It's beautiful. They come by and just spray it off. They power wash our art away every 2 weeks because they don't want to face that we're right. They don't want to face the kids that are sobbing in front of their office and sharing stories about how terrifying the future seems, because it's really heavy. It's hard for them to process, I'm sure, but it's exciting. And I encourage anyone that's listening to come out to the next one. It's at 4:30 p.m. on Wednesday, September 15th, and then every 2 weeks after that. We're going to try to get some more elected officials out there to speak, and just keep growing this thing because it's doing great work. So I'd love to see you all out there.
You're listening to KBOO's Celebration of International Day of Democracy.
This is Jeremy Scahill, author of Dirty Wars, and you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7.
Oh, 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 you say you're looking for the time. Hey, I'm a working girl. You're just a wasted man.
On the upcoming edition of Movin' On, Don Jacobson will be featuring the music of Nancy Griffith. Blending folk and country, she created a genre of music that was her own. We will hear from Nancy and other artists who pay tribute to her music with their own versions of Nancy's music. Tune in this Friday, a few minutes after noon, only on KBOO.
Just once, in a very blue moon, and every one once in a very blue moon.
At its core, democracy itself means rule by the people.